In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, today we hear a story of Jesus healing a woman bent over and crippled by a spirit. Jesus healing someone, of course, is not that unusual. He heals all the time. But there's something special about this healing that gets him in trouble with the temple leadership. This healing, you see, occurs on the Sabbath. If we look at all the Gospels, Jesus heals on the Sabbath 7 different times. Now, you might think that 7 would have some kind of significance, but not the case here. 3 of the healings are from the Gospel of Mark, 2 each from Luke and John, so the total number is not as important as the reality that for Jesus, healing on the Sabbath was not an aberration, but a significant part of his ministry. And that kind of begs the question, why did the Hebrews have an injunction against healing on the Sabbath in the first place? Well, to do that, we need to go back to the Torah in the books of Genesis and Exodus. In Genesis, the first story of creation ends with, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude, and on the 7th day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the 7th day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the 7th day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. On the 7th day, the Sabbath, God rests from all the work of creation, blessing and hallowing that day." Okay, so now we know that the Sabbath is important to God. Why is it so important to us? In Exodus, the first mention of Sabbath comes in the story of the manna, and it's God in this story that keeps Sabbath, only providing manna for 6 days a week and commanding a day of solemn rest and holy Sabbath to the Lord. To be fair, he does give 2 days worth of manna on Saturday, but okay. Later on in the book of Exodus, at the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Lord reminds them of the earlier command and explains. He expands a little bit. "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." Later on, as the scene of the giving of the law is drawing to a close, the Lord gives Moses a further explanation of Sabbath. "You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations, given in order that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." So clearly, Sabbath is important to God and a precious gift that God shared with the Hebrews. And so over the following hundreds of years, the Hebrews kept the Sabbath. And as their lives became more complicated, rules began to be laid down about what was officially work and what wasn't. By the time Jesus arrives on the scene, the rules have become pretty involved and convoluted. To be fair, that's pretty much the way of things. It always has been. I mean, look how involved and convoluted our own constitutional rules have become in just a little over 200 years. I hate to think what they're going to look like in a couple thousand. Oof. Well, still, I think it's important to remember that Jesus came not to throw out the Sabbath, but to correct a misunderstanding of the Sabbath rules. Somehow, the Hebrews had come to see healing as just any other kind of work, and so had prohibited its use on the Sabbath. What Jesus did in the synagogue that day was to turn their understanding of sickness and healing inside out. He showed them that the sickness that the woman suffered from was its own kind of work. And that work had prevented her from fulfilling her own Sabbath duties for 18 years. In all those years, she'd been disconnected from her own understanding that she was blessed by God. Anyone who has lived with someone suffering with a chronic illness knows this truth. How could the leaders of the synagogue miss it? What Jesus was trying to get through to those leaders was the folly that they took better care of their animals on the Sabbath than they did of each other. How could they not see that healing was its own Sabbath, a holy rest from the hard labors of illness? Jesus himself describes this healing as a release from the bondage of Satan. How could they have missed it? So, what are we to make of all of this? What is the good news to take from our gospel this morning, the good news that we can take out and share with the world? Well, first, I think, is the importance of Sabbath. Though Jesus breaks the rules of Sabbath, he does so in the service of the greater Sabbath. Do not confuse Sabbath with going to church. Though going to church is certainly part of a healthy Sabbath, it is only a part, and a relatively small part at that. If we are to be healthy, well-rounded Christians, Sabbath discipline must be observed. Regular times of rest must be a regular part of our lives as a spiritual discipline. It will make us different from those around us in America. If we are to be right with God, we must make time to do nothing. Make no mistake about it, Sabbath is a discipline. Even more so today than it was in Jesus' time. I have to say, I saw something in the paper the other day that frightened me. It frightened me because one of my great weaknesses is now encroaching on one of my favorite sanctuaries. Wi-Fi is coming to campgrounds. Oh no. Our electric gizmos are touted as making work easier, and they do. But even more so, and more insidiously so, they make work longer. It's getting harder and harder for us to leave work behind. And we, my friends, are much the poorer for it. The good news is that at least so far, we can turn them off. I wonder how much longer it's going to be before the off switch just disappears. You get it and it's on. And you don't have to worry about turning it off. It's not a problem. So, my friends, find ways to make Sabbath a discipline in your life. And let that discipline be for you a sign of God's blessing. See, God speaks to us in silence, in the silent places in our lives. And if we fill our lives up with noise all the time, it's going to be harder to hear that still small voice. Now, another piece of good news that we can take away from our gospel this morning is, I think, the central place that healing has or should have in Christian ministry. To offer healing in the name of God is to be a sign to the world of God's continual sanctification of all creation. To be a healer is to incarnate Sabbath in the world through the easing of the labors of illness. Throughout his time on earth, Jesus taught his followers to go out into the world and to heal the sick. But even more, he lived that reality. moving among the people and healing the sick and casting out their demons. Jesus showed us that though it is important to practice Sabbath, it's even more important to be Sabbath in the world. To pray for healing is to remember to bring into being the sanctifying connection between God and one of God's suffering servants. In this remembering, this reconnection to the body of Christ, the holy rest of Sabbath fills all those involved. They become Sabbath. You know, you've seen people who have struggled through illness, but by staying connected to communities and to be continually lifted up in prayer, they make it through that illness. Whether they survive or not, they are healed. That's what we're shooting for. All right, we're not all going to be surgeons or doctors. But what we need to be about is keeping people continually connected to the body of Christ, that source of new life and hope. Now comes the hard part. As hard as it is, it's not enough to simply know these truths. They must be shared. These are the truths the world needs to hear. This is part of the good news Jesus came to give to the world. And as followers of Jesus, it is good news that we need to share. As people of the way, this is the hard work of living the faith we profess. As we share this truth and embody this truth in the world, we will become like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail, to all the people around us. As we reclaim the way of Sabbath and share the grace of healing to those around us, we will become the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. It's tough. It's especially tough now in a world that has been so divided and bunkerized. It's really, really hard, if you are, God help you, a Democrat, to speak to a Republican with grace and love. And if, God help you, you are a Republican, it is very hard to speak to a Democrat with grace and love. But we need to find a way. We need to reconnect ourselves. And the easiest way to do that is to find our connection in Jesus. To remember that we have so much more in common than we do that separates us. How are we going to do this? Well, as I like to say, actions always have been and always will be louder than words. It's a high calling and an awesome task, but we need have no fear because God is with us in this journey. So, if you're a Republican, I encourage and invite you to find a friend or perhaps someone who used to be a friend who is a Democrat and to take them out to lunch or breakfast or dinner and to listen. Don't try to convince, just listen and try to find the connections that you at least used to have. And try to strengthen those connections. Recognize, yes, you may think very differently about the world, but it is our duty to reconnect the world. If you're a Democrat, same with you. Find a Republican who is a friend or an acquaintance or someone who used to be a friend. And take them out and build that connection again. And do it by faithful listening. It is going to be hard for everybody. But as I said, remember, God is with us in this journey of healing. Amen.